Welcome to the March 10th, 2006 dsmith.org podcast. Discussions on this month's technical tidbit, predicting cable emissions from common mode current. I'm Doug Smith. So I'm here with Matt Aschenberg on the phone. He's with EchoStar in the Denver area, and we're going to discuss the paper he contributed for the technical tidbit here for March 2006. So are you ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
So, Matt, that was a great short paper, very interesting. What got you into making those measurements?
Charles Grasso and I were evaluating our GTEM cell, trying to figure out where it worked and where we needed to be aware of issues. And one of the experiments we were running was to take a dipole or a fight source and compare that against the common mode current equation. So we'd measure the common mode currents coming off the dipole, and then also take GTEM measurements and compare the two.
What were some of the difficulties you encountered, things like finding the time to do it, measurement equipment, and the like?
Well, I think the most difficult part of the whole experiment was the math that was involved with the Bolanos equation. But difficulty of the experiment was finding, having to work with the equipment that we had. The site source probably wasn't the best tool to use for this experiment, but we made good use of it. At time, it just fitted in between some projects, do some work over lunch or stay late at work, find a time like that. It's not too difficult, especially something that's interesting to work on.
Yeah, I've had a lot of projects like that where I had to fit it in a little piece at a time over a longer period of time. Can you give me a list of steps to actually do this common mode current measurement and predict radiation?
Well, once you have your equipment set up, like your spectrum analyzer and your current probe, you take the cable of interest and you take the probe and you start basically at the source or one end of it. You move it all the way through the length of the cables. You want to make sure you pick up the highest point of current through that cable. That's what you want to be using for your radiation prediction.
Okay. I think in a lot of cases that I've seen, usually the biggest peak is usually within the first meter of the cable.
Yes, that's generally true. Once you get past, it's generally true. When some of the frequencies past the half wavelength, we start seeing that peak move closer and closer to the middle of the cable. Mm-hmm. But it never traversed past the halfway mark.
Okay. So what equipment do I need to get started, and can you recommend specific equipment? For instance, suppose I'm not an EMC lab. I just want to do this benchtop test before I go to an EMC lab. So what kind of things do I need?
Well, I prefer using a spectrum analyzer. We've got a Hewlett-Packard 743 analyzer. It's great. It's got some of the detectors in it, similar to the EMC lab, mm-hmm. like QuasiPeak. You need a current probe. We prefer the F61 Fisher custom communications probe. It works great, all the way up to about a gigahertz.
Okay.
So as we're moving higher and higher in frequency, the probe is maintaining its effectiveness.
What's its lower end of the flat response, frequency-wise?
I think it's about 30 meg. I'd have to go check.
Okay, but it definitely covers the radiation area above 30 that you're looking for.
It certainly does, and if you look at the article we've done, we've taken it outside of its specified range, mm-hmm. In our experiments. But
and it still seems to work.
It still seems to work pretty well.
What's its transfer impedance?
I don't remember.
It's probably built into your analyzer, but in my technical tidbit article, I gave a little example of how to calculate where to put a display line that would correspond to it. It's probably in the order of an ohm, I would guess, between 1 and 5 ohms. So they're usually not any higher than 5 and usually not too much less than 1. If we're much less than 1, you wouldn't be able to see the little blips. So I'm a company. I don't really have an EMC lab. I go buy this equipment. How can I get my return on investment? How does this procedure lower EMC testing costs?
It'll help you reduce your EMC testing costs a little bit by giving you some in-house testing. So you can do on-the-spot corrections for any radiation that comes down that cable. That's very effective. But what's even more effective about when you get higher in frequencies, the original equations were significantly over-predicting it. So if you followed the simple standard blog equation, you'd be over-designing your product. So current probe testing is very effective, but then you got to make sure that you're not over-designing the product on the results of it.
Okay. Along the lines of engineering is the art of being good enough and not too good.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to put too much money into this. Customers don't buy your product because it's EMC compliant. So the skill of being an EMC engineer is enough to be effective, but again, not too much.
Well, thanks, Matt, for taking the time for this interview and for writing the paper and taking all that data. It was quite a bit of time, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Doug.